This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa Khatimin Nabiyyin. محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. Respected listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We continue with the tafsir of Surah Al-A'la. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. Elevate the name of your Lord, the Most High. الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. He who created, then perfected. وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. And he who proportioned, and then guided. I completed the commentary of these three verses in the previous session. And before we move on to the next verse, just a quick reminder, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, elevate the name of your Lord the Most High. This is tasbih. Do the tasbih of your Lord. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and others relate a hadith from Uqbat ibn Amir radiyallahu anhu, who says that when Allah revealed the verse of the Quran, فَسَبِّحْ بِاسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ, from Surah Al-Waqi'ah, that him, or elevate the name of your Lord the Majestic, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to place this tasbih in our ruku. So we began saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. And then when Allah revealed this verse, Sabbih isma Rabbika al-A'la, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, place this in your sujood. So this tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is done in ruku', in sujood, in salah, in prayer, and also out of prayer. In fact, these words, sabbih, the address is not plural. The whole creation or all the believers aren't being addressed here. Rather, it's just the Prophet ﷺ himself, individually. He is being told, Sabbih, you, O Messenger, hymn the praise of your Lord, elevate the name of your Lord, the Most High. And indeed, throughout the Quran, Rasulullah ﷺ was repeatedly told by Allah to remember him, to do his dhikr, to mention his name repeatedly, and to do tasbih at all times of the day. In one verse, Allah says to him, فَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدَ رَبِّكَ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا وَمِنْ آنَاءِ اللَّيْلِ فَسَبِّحْ وَأَطْرَافَ النَّهَارِ لَعَلَّكَ تَرْضَى. Allah says, be patient over what they say. And elevate the name of your Lord before the rising of the sun and before its setting, and from the hours of the night, hymn and praise the name of your Lord, do the tasbih. Wa atraf an-nahar, and also at the ends of the day, la'allaka tarda, perhaps you may be content. So in this one verse alone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, won't be patient over what others say. The Quraysh and the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said all sorts to him, about him. And some of this would reach his noble ears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala merely told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do sabr, be patient over what they say. There was no attempt to answer everything that the enemies of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were saying about him, to him. The Quran doesn't address everything. They said a lot, repeatedly. And this was a sunnah of the Anbiya alayhim wassalam. Allah says of them, atawasaw bih. In one verse, atawasaw bih. That have they given a wasiyah to each other of this? Have they left a testimony and a will to each other of this? So the context is that all of the messengers of Allah alayhim wassalam, whenever they came, they were abused and accused and persecuted by their peoples. It was a rule of creation. No Nabi, no messenger, no prophet of Allah was spared this. Every nation, every qawm, every people abused, accused, and persecuted their respective messenger and prophets. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then poses a rhetorical question, that why is this? That whenever a Nabi came, whenever a Rasul came, a messenger or a prophet, the people, not only did they reject him, so it wasn't just a question of people saying, we don't believe you. Rather, they mocked, they ridiculed, they abused, they accused, they persecuted. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poses a rhetorical question, atawasaw bih, that what, have they left a will to each other of this? That it's almost as though when one generation is about to die, as a last testimony and will, they say to their descendants that one final word of advice. If a messenger or a prophet comes to you, then make sure you abuse him, you accuse him, you persecute him. So, of course, that didn't happen. It's a rhetorical question. أَتَوَاصَوْ بِهِ, what have they left a will to each other of this? Then Allah answers it himself. Nay, they didn't do this. بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ طَاغُونَ, rather, they are a people who are transgressors. And طَغَى, طُغْيَان, originally means to rise. Originally, the meaning isn't to transgress, to step over the boundary. It means to rise. So they are a rising people. Well, who rises? Those who are arrogant. If someone's arrogant, they raise their head. In another verse, كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. Nay, indeed man rises, i.e. he transgresses, because he sees himself as independent of Allah. So Allah answers that question, that why do these people abuse and accuse the messengers and prophets of Allah alayhi wasalam? Is it something that they've left a will and final testament to each other of? No, that's not the case. بل nay, هم قوم طاغون. They are a transgressing people, a people who have risen in arrogance and in corruption. So the problem lies not with the messengers or their message. The problem lies not in the fact that they can't believe. And the issue isn't that they've actually left a testimony and final will to each other, no. بَلْهُمْ قَوْمٌ طَاغُونَ Nay, they are a transgressing people. The problem lies with them. It is their arrogance and their corruption which is causing them to behave in this way towards the prophets and messengers of Allah alayhi wasalam. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this verse, that again, the Qur'an doesn't answer everything that the Quraysh and the mushrikeen and the pagans hurled at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some of the things the Qur'an addresses, much of what they said both to and about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Qur'an doesn't address at all. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply tells him, فَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ Be patient over what they say. And then immediately thereafter, after enjoining patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ الْغُرُوبِ وقبل غروبها. That be patient over what they say and do the tasbih of your Lord, of the praise of your Lord, before the setting of the sun and before the rising of the sun, before the setting of the sun, and in the hours of the night, do the tasbih, and at the ends of the day, throughout the day, in the hours of the night, at the ends of the day, before sunset, before sunrise, do the tasbih of your Lord. This is just one verse. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just the verse, but the famous surah of Surah An-Nasr, which we are all familiar with. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرَ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا That when the help of Allah arrives and conquest, this is a reference to the conquest of Makkah al-Mukarramah in the 8th year of Hijrah, and you see people entering into Islam in hordes, in multitudes, then what do? Do the tasbih of the praise of your Lord and seek his forgiveness. Verily Allah is off relenting and turning to his servants in mercy. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after the revelation of this verse, would repeatedly say throughout the day, Subhanallah wa bihamdih, astaghfirullah. Subhanallah wa bihamdih, astaghfirullah. He would say Subhanallah and astaghfirullah repeatedly throughout the day. Mu'mineen, one of the wives, asked him, Ya Rasulullah, I see you repeatedly and excessively and so frequently do the tasbih of Subhanallah and istighfar. Why? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, because Allah revealed this verse to me. I have seen a sign, and that sign is when the victory of Allah arrives and people enter into Islam in multitudes, then do the tasbih of your Lord and seek his forgiveness. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would do tasbih. What one, he would always be engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always engaged in the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah, what does that verse tell us? فَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَسَبِّحْ That rather than spend your time arguing with them, answering them, debating with them, constantly responding to them, rather, you should do sabr and tasbih. Engage not in talk with these people, rather engage in tasbih. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ used to do excessively, frequently, remain engaged in the dhikr of Allah. Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would remember Allah at all his times, at all his moments. In fact, Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi relates a hadith in his Sahih that from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, who says that Ummul Mu'mineen Juwayriya radiyallahu anha, she prayed Fajr Salah at home, and then where she was praying, she remained seated there, engaged in dhikr. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came back from Fajr Salah much later, late morning. Well, when the morning had become bright, duha. When he returned, he found Ummul Mu'mineen Juwayriya radiyallahu anha still sitting there. So he said to her, have you been seated here ever since I left, and meaning since morning, since Fajr? She said, yes. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to her, I have said four words which, if you were to weigh these four words, meaning four sentences or four phrases, if you were to weigh these four phrases against all that you have said since morning, all the dhikr that you have done since morning, if you were to weigh only these four phrases that I have said, then these four phrases would outweigh all of them. And they are, Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi relates this hadith, they are Subhanallah wa bihamdih, adada khalqih, wa ridha nafsih, wa zinata arshih, wa midada kalimatih. That Subhanallah, Allah be elevated, and He be praised, wa bihamdih. Adada khalqih, the four phrases are adada khalqih, to the number of His creation, Allah be elevated and Allah be praised. عَدَدَ خَلْقِهِ, to the number of His creation, وَرِضَى نَفْسِهِ, and to the contentment of Himself. وَزِنَةَ عَرْشِهِ, and to the weight of His throne. وَمِدَادَ كَلِمَاتِهِ, and to the ink of His words. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would remain engaged in the tasbih of Allah, saying Subhanallah and Subhanallah wa bihamdih and other variations of tasbih throughout the day. And that's what he taught the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, that's what he taught the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi relates a hadith from Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu anhu, who says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked, Ayyul kalami afdal, which speech is the best? Ayyul kalami afdal, which speech is the best? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that speech is the best which Allah has selected and chosen for His angels or for His servants. And which speech is that? Subhanallah wa bihamdih. That speech is the best which Allah has selected for His angels and for His servants. Subhanallah wa bihamdih. In another hadith, again related by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, he told the same Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu anhu, that, O Abu Dharr, should I not inform you of the most beloved of all speech to Allah. So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, do inform me of the most beloved of all speech to Allah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the most beloved of all speech to Allah is Subhanallah wa bihamdih. Again, Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu relates in a hadith recorded by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever says Subhanallah wa bihamdih 100 times in the morning and in the evening, whoever says Subhanallah wa bihamdih 100 times in the morning and in the evening, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the day of resurrection, no one will bring forth any deed which is as good as that, or which is better than that, unless someone has said exactly the same or more. And in a hadith related by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, من قال سبحان الله وبحمده في يوم مئة مرة حطت خطاياه وإن كانت مثل زبد البحر. That if whoever says سبحان الله وبحمده, Allah be elevated and may He be praised, whoever says سبحان الله وبحمده 100 times in any one day, all of his sins shall be shed, even though they may be equivalent to the foam of the sea. It's a hadith of Bukhari and Muslim. So obviously this only addresses minor sins, not major sins. So, and also only those sins that are between a person and Allah, not between a person and any one of Allah's creation. So whoever says Subhanallah wa bihamdih 100 times a day, in any one day, all of his sins shall be shed and forgiven, even though they may be equivalent to the foam of the sea. And that most famous hadith, the final hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, which we read and completed last week, again related by Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, it's also related by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَلِمَتَانِ حَبِيبَتَانِ إِلَى الرَّحْمَانِ خَفِيفَتَانِ عَلَى اللِّسَانِ ثَقِيلَتَانِ فِي الْمِيزَانِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. Two sentences, or two phrases, that are most beloved to Allah, that are most beloved to Rahman, the most gracious one. So two phrases that are most beloved to the gracious one, that are light upon the tongue, but heavy on the scales. They are Subhanallah wa bihamdih, Subhanallah al-Azim. Elevated be Allah and He be praised. Elevated be Allah, the majestic one. So just that one, these two phrases, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, are so rewarding. There are many other ahadith about the fadila and the virtue and merit and the reward of saying tasbih, of just Subhanallah or Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would remain engaged in the dhikr of Allah, in the tasbih of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed him individually. Allah tells the believers to remain engaged in the remembrance of Allah and in his tasbih excessively, frequently, repeatedly. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira wasabbihuhu bukratan wa asila, O believers. Remember Allah, an excessive remembering. and do his tasbih, bukratan wa asila, morning and evening. And what exactly is the purpose of tasbih? What are the benefits and the wisdom of remembering Allah excessively? Well, there are many rewards, many virtues, many wisdoms, many benefits. But just one of them highlighted and indicated throughout the Quran is that the remembrance of Allah should lead a person to realizing the reality of life and one's return to the Akhirah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, going back to the tafsir of Surah Al-A'la, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. Do the tasbih of the name of your Lord, the Most High. He who has created and then perfected. And he who has proportioned and then guided. Now, I've explained these verses last week, but what I'd like to add here is that this idea of tasbih connected to creation. Allah mentions creation and the perfection of the universe immediately after the instruction to do tasbih. Why? It's because Allah has created the universe, and Allah has invited us to reflect on the perfection of that creation, on the marvels of that creation. Allah has invited us to continuously reflect on the universe, on the world around us. But not just to marvel at it, but to realize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Allah upon us. And I'll give you one simple example before we think about the universe. One simple example. Allah says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَزْوَاجَ كُلَّهَا وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ مِنَ الْفُلْكِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ مَا تَرْكَبُونَ لِتَسْتَوُوا عَلَى ظُهُورِهِ ثُمَّ تَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ رَبِّكُمْ إِذَا اسْتَوَيْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ وَتَقُولُوا سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ وَإِنَّا إِلَى رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. This is just one example. Allah says, it is He who has created all pairs. Allah has created all pairs in humans, in creation, in animals, in nature. وَجَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ الْفُلْكِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ مَا تَرْكَبُونَ. And He has also created of ships and animals that which you ride. Now think of it. Boats, rafts, ships. It's surprising that these heavy items float on water. And whether it's a small canoe, a small raft, or these huge ships, which are almost like cities in themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He has created these so that you may board them, you may ride them. And if anyone says, well, this is the invention of man, And similar to boats and ships and things that sail on the water are the vessels that ride in the air, planes. A remarkable invention, but who guided mankind to this? And if we can marvel at ships and at planes, well, what about the next thing that Allah says? وَالْأَنْعَامِ مَا تَرْكَبُونَ. And Allah has created of the animals that which you ride. Now, camels, horses, just take horses, magnificent animals, beautiful, graceful, highly intelligent, fearless, brave, and extremely strong. Horses aren't dumb. They aren't stupid. They are highly intelligent. Sensitive animals. They are extremely strong. One kick of a horse could maim a person, if not kill him outright. And yet, these animals can outrun man, physically overwhelm and overpower man. These horses can kill a man. And yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that animal subservient to man. Man rides it, prods it, lashes it, whips it to speed it up, hits it, uses a rod on it. And what does man do in return? Give some fodder? Horses can graze in the wild quite successfully. So what does man do for them? That these animals allow man to ride them. And not just ride them, but sometimes to take them plunging into battle. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ الضَّبْحَا فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَا فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَا فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعًا فَوَسَطْنَ بِهِ جَمْعًا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ. And I've explained in the commentary of that verse that what's the connection? The connection is that if horses, just because of the little care that man gives them, can be so loyal and so dutiful, then how can man be so ungrateful to Allah despite everything Allah has given him? So these horses, just as one example, despite being able to outrun, overwhelm, defeat man, remain humble before him and subservient, allowing him to work the horses, allowing him to ride the horses, allowing him to do what he wants with the horses. If it wasn't for the taskhir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning Allah making them subservient, if it wasn't for the hidayah of Allah to that animal to remain subservient for man, if it wasn't for that, no way could man ride these animals. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces this as a favor, that it is He who has created the pairs, all of them, and it is He who has created of the ships and of the animals that which you ride, so that you may settle upon their backs or upon their surfaces, whether it's a plane or a ship or a horse. Then once you have settled on the surface of the ship, on the deck, or on the plane, or once you have settled on the backs of these horses or camels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ تَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ رَبِّكُمْ إِذَا اسْتَوَيْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ. Then, so that then you should remember the gift and favor and blessing of your Lord once you have settled on these surfaces and on these backs of the animals. وَتَقُولُوا, and so that you should say, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ. This is the dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught us. This is the dua that Allah has taught us. That when you ride, whether it's in a car, on a plane, on a ship, on an animal, once you have settled and you are about to begin your journey, what's the dua? Subhanalladhi sakhkhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrineen. Elevated be that Allah. Glorified be that Allah. Who has made this subservient to us. وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ. And we were not ones to make this subservient to us. We were not ones to be able to control this or to make this obedient to us. And then Allah says, وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. And the dua is, and verily we are unto our Lord ones to return. I'll explain that in a moment, but this is just one example. Allah has created His universe, and Allah invites us to reflect on that creation, not just to marvel at it, but to be grateful to Allah, be thankful to Allah, and to do the tasbih of Allah. Just as if we marvel at the power of man to travel on boats, on ships, or on planes, or in cars, or to be able to ride animals, the first thing that man should do once he sees that and reflects on that is do the tasbih of Allah, Subhanalladhi sakhkhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrineen. So here as well, Allah Azza wa Jal says, hymn the praise, elevate the name of your Lord the Most High who has created and thus perfected, and who has proportioned and guided. Allah invites us, reminds us to reflect on creation. In another verse of the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal says, speaking of the believers, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Those who remember Allah, when? At all times. Those who remember Allah while standing, while seated, whilst lying on their side, and who reflect on the creation of the heavens and the earth, saying, exclaiming, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. O our Lord, you have not created any of this in falsehood. So once they marvel at the creation, what should they say thereafter? Subhanak. When a believer marvels, when a believer is shocked, when a believer is surprised, a believer remembers Allah and does the tasbih of Allah. When he sees the miraculous and marvelous nature of creation around him, the heavens and the earth as Allah describes in this verse, his first response is Subhanak. May you be elevated. Be your elevation, O Allah. فَقِنَا عَذَابًا now, save us from the punishment of the fire. There are other similar verses throughout the Quran which speak about man reflecting on the world and on the creation around him and then remembering Allah. And that remember, so reflection should lead, reflection on the universe, reflection on creation should lead a person to the remembrance of Allah. And that remembrance of Allah should lead a person to the realization of the reality of this life on earth. And the realization that we are about to return to Allah. That realization is also in all of these verses that I've just mentioned. Even when you are traveling, we marvel at our ability to ride planes, ships, to drive cars, and to ride animals, horses and camels. We do the tasbih of Allah, Subhanalladhi sakhkhara lana hadha, wa ma kunna lahu muqrineen. And what's the final part of the dua? Wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. And indeed, we are about to return to our Lord. Those in the other verse, those who remember Allah, qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim, whilst standing, whilst seated, whilst lying on their sides, they exclaim, Subhanak. Your elevation, your eminence, your loftiness, O Allah, And then immediately thereafter, فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, so save us from the punishment of the fire. So look at the tartib, look at the procedure, look at the flow, the progress. The Qur'an in all of these verses teaches us to reflect on the universe, on creation, on the world around us. But that reflection should be of such a kind, such a nature, that it leads us immediately to the remembrance of Allah. And the remembrance and tasbih of Allah should lead us to the realization of the reality of this worldly life. And the fact that it is brief, it is short, it is transient, ephemeral. It is not everlasting. And that it will end. And when that ends, we are to return to Allah. We are reminded of that in the dua for traveling. We are reminded of that in the verse about reflecting on the creation of the heavens and the earth. We are reminded of that here as well. Allah says, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى. And not just human beings, subhanAllah. Everything does the tasbih of Allah. Everything. The angels do, of course. But even things in the creation of Allah. In the previous session, I was speaking about the marvel of guidance. وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. Allah says, and he who has proportioned and guided, the third verse of this surah. And in that context, I mentioned about birds. These tiny birds, they are able to flap their wings, remain aloft in the air, and travel thousands of miles. Thousands. In fact, they say of bees that with other birds, the structure of the wings and the body and the proportion of the size of the wings in relation to the body, it makes sense. It seems logical as to how they can fly, how they are able to remain aloft. But with bees, it doesn't make sense. Because the size of the body of the bee and its relatively small wings. In fact, there's a whole debate in science as to should bees even be able to fly because of the proportion of their wings in relation to the size of their wings in relation to the size of their bodies. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only enables them to fly, but they fly using air routes, traffic patterns, and it's almost as though a beehive has its own air traffic control system. I mentioned in the context of birds that these tiny birds like that thrush, which is able to travel from North America to South America, covering thousands of miles, there and back, and is able to, many of them can fly back to the very same tree that they left many months before. Small sized thrush bird. And not only that, they leave at different times of the year, meaning each year they leave at different times. Why? They are able to plan and plot their journey and their routes in anticipation of hurricanes and winds. And they are able to predict hurricanes almost 2 months before the world's scientists and supercomputers collectively can predict them. And sometimes, and it's been proven just over the past few years, just in these few years alone, it's been proven that the supercomputers of the meteorologists and the scientists have all got it wrong, and these teeny little birds have got it right. I mentioned how some birds It's almost as though they have their own GPS. And some birds are able to fly using the Earth's magnetic field. How they are able to do it, it's still not understood. وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى And he who proportioned and guided. But I don't wish to repeat all of this, but think of this. We marvel at the birds, and yet of the birds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالطَّيْرُ صَافَّاتِ كُلٌّ قَدْ عَلِمَ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيحَهُ Have you not seen that verily Allah, all who are in the heavens and the earth do His tasbih? And even Allah mentions all who are in the heavens and the earth, and then after that Allah mentions no other thing except one thing. Have you not seen that Allah indeed do His tasbih, all who are in the heavens and in the earth, وَالطَّيْرُ صَافَّاتِ and the birds spreading their wings. كُلٌّ قَدْ عَلِمَ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيحَهُ Each knows its prayer and its tasbih. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَفْعَلُونَ Allah knows all that they do. In another verse, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ There is nothing except that it does the tasbih of the praise of Allah. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ But you do not understand their tasbih. Birds, beasts, animals, humans, animate, inanimate objects, in the whole creation of Allah, engage in the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Though we may not understand their tasbih. كُلٌّ قَدْ عَلِمَ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيحَهُ Each knows its dua, its prayer, its tasbih. So going back to these verses, Allah Azza wa Jal reminds us, at the very beginning of the surah, Allah addresses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling him, سَبْحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى Elevate the name of your Lord the Most High. Do the tasbih of the name of your Lord the Most High. He who has created and then perfected, and he who has guided, who has proportioned and then guided. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى This is a fourth verse. وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى He and he who has brought forth, who has produced the green pasture. Then he turned it into dark stubble. What does that mean? And what's the flow here? What's the context? All of a sudden, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is first speaking about tasbih. Allah then mentions His creation and the perfection of that creation. Allah mentions His proportioning and its precision. Allah mentions a guidance that He has instilled into everything in the universe. And then all of a sudden Allah speaks about green grass and then how Allah turns that green grass into dark stubble. What's the connection? Why the sudden switch? There's no switch. It's all deeply connected. It's exactly what I mentioned earlier about marveling at the creation of the heavens and the earth, exclaiming Subhanak, and then فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ So Lord, protect us from the punishment of the fire. It's the same as sitting on the plane, on the ship, in a car, on a horse, on a camel, marveling at the ability to ride this great thing, exclaiming, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin, praying to Allah, hymning His praise, and then saying at the end, wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun, and indeed we are surely ones to return to our Lord. As I said, the flow here is consistent. Allah teaches us to reflect on the creation. That reflection should lead us to the remembrance of Allah. And that remembrance of Allah should lead us to the realization of the reality of this worldly life. That's the realization of the reality of the worldly life in that fourth verse. وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. And he who has produced, brought forth the green pasture, and then who turned it into dark stubble. What that one single verse teaches us, that we may look around us and marvel at the world, but we should realize that nothing is static, nothing is constant. The world is forever changing. We are forever changing. The world is moving in one direction. Time is moving in one direction. And nothing will ever last. Nothing. And Allah invites us to look at just the grass. Green grass. It's lush. It's pleasant. It's beautiful. But it never remains the same. Every moment, every second of a single blade of grass's existence, it's undergoing change. And that change is never backwards. It's never sideways. It's never in reverse. That trajectory, that direction, that change, that course is only in one direction. And that's towards decline and decay and death. A single blade of grass. Green pastures will never remain green forever. But the greenery will pale. It will turn yellow. This vegetation will wither, dry, collapse, crumble, and become dark stubble. And in order to understand this verse, look at another verse of the Quran. Allah says in a verse, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَسَلَكَهُ يَنَابِيعَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يخرج به زرعا مختلفا ألوانه ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يجعله حطاما إن في ذلك لذكرى لأولي الألباب. Allah says, do you not see that Allah has sent down from the sky water? فسلكه ينابيع في الأرض. Then Allah caused this water to flow through springs in the earth. ثُمَّ يُخْرِجُ بِهِ زَرْعًا مُخْتَلِفًا أَلْوَانُهُ. Then through this water, Allah produces and brings forth vegetation of different colours. Indeed, trees, fruits, plants, all of brilliant colours. We are now in autumn, and one of the beauties of autumn is the leaves. In fact, there was a headline in our, I didn't read the article, but there was a headline just today, yesterday, that people find the colourful leaves of autumn more fascinating, more and more interesting than Christmas. So through the water, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings forth and produces vegetation of many different colours. But what happens to this vegetation of beautiful, lush, bright colours? Allah says, ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًا ثُمَّ يَجْعَلُهُ عُطَامًا. This vegetation withers. It withers. It inclines. Then you see it's pale. then Allah makes it into stubble. Then Allah says at the end of the verse, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرَى لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in this is a reminder and an admonition. For who? لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, for ones of intelligence. Allah is telling us, if you don't understand this parable, this similitude, if you don't understand this moral, this lesson, then it's not because of any deficiency in the Qur'an or in the parable itself. It's because you lack that lubab, you lack that lub, you lack that intelligence, you lack that depth, that wisdom, that insight. Allah says, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَذِكْرَى لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in this there is a reminder for the ones of intelligence. Those who are intelligent, who have that insight, will be able to understand these examples, these parables and similitudes. And it's even made clearer in another verse of the Qur'an, Surah Al-Hadid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُمْ وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. Allah says no, that the worldly life is only play, لعب, play. Know that the worldly life is only play. Wallah, and frivolity, jest, wazina, and ornamentation, a beautification, watafakhur, and mutual boasting. And takathur, and one-upmanship. فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ, in wealth and in children. That's the reality of worldly life, Allah says. That's all it is. Then Allah says, كَمَثِلَ غَيْثِ, like the example of rain. Same thing, similar verse. أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ, rain whose vegetation does please the farmers. ثُمَّ يَهِيجَ فَطَرَاهُ مُسْفَرًا ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا. Then that same beautiful vegetation which is so pleasing to the farmers. What happens? It withers. Then you see it turning yellow, pale. Then it becomes stubble. Then Allah says, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. And in the Akhirah, in the afterlife, there is either Adhabun Shadeed or forgiveness and pleasure from Allah. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And the worldly life is nothing but an item of deception, a product of deception. So in this verse of Surah Al-A'la, the flow hasn't been broken, it's very consistent. It's flowing, it's the procedure, the order is similar to that in other verses of the Holy Quran. The order is, Allah says, and I'll end with this, سَبْحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. Elevate the name of your Lord, the Most High. Do the tasbih of the name of your Lord, the Most High. He who has created and then perfected, and he who has proportioned and then guided, and he who has brought forth the green pasture and then turned it into dark stubble. The message here is, reflect on the world and let that reflection on the universe and the creation and the world around us lead us to the remembrance and the tasbih of Allah. And let that remembrance and the tasbih of Allah lead us to the realization of the reality of this life on earth. That is the flow. Just as Allah says in a verse of the Holy Quran, speaking about the believers and speaking about the masjids, في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار. Allah says, in homes, أذن الله أن ترفع, that Allah has commanded should be raised and erected. Homes that Allah has commanded should be constructed. Which homes are these? The homes of Allah, meaning the masjids. في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيه اسمه. In homes, i.e. in masajid, that Allah has commanded should be constructed, and that His name should be mentioned therein. What happens in these masajid? يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال. Therein, in these masajid, in these homes of prayer and remembrance, do the tasbih of Allah morning and evening. رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع. Men who are not distracted by trade and business or selling and buying. They are not distracted by their trade, their business, and their buying and selling from what? From the remembrance of Allah and the establishing of salah and the giving of zakah. Why? Allah immediately says thereafter, يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتْقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. They fear a day in which the hearts and the eyes, the sight, shall flip. Again, Allah says, tasbih and dhikr, the remembrance of Allah, and tasbih should lead a person to the realization of the reality of this life and the knowledge and the realization that it is unto Allah that we shall soon return. Their business, their buying, their selling, their trade, their wealth, their life on earth does not distract them from the remembrance of Allah, salah, zakah, and they make dua. Why? يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتْقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. They fear a day in which hearts and sight shall be flipped. So they may be here, but their gaze, their attention, their concentration, their focus is on the akhirah, is on the return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time and time again, this is the message throughout the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Alam Nashrah, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. That when you are relieved of your duty, then fansab. One meaning is tie yourself, the other is rise. Wa ila rabbika farghab, and unto your Lord hasten. We learnt of Surah An-Nasr earlier, when the help of Allah arrives and conquest. That was a reference to the conquest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of Makkah al-Mukarramah and the tribes. And you see people entering into Islam in hordes, in multitudes. What was the message to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدَ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. Then him, do the tasbih of the praise of your Lord and do his istighfar, for you are about to return to Allah. The final verse of the Holy Quran that was revealed is of Surah Al-Baqarah, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And fear a day in which you shall all be returned to Allah. Then each soul shall be repaid in full whatever it has earned. And similarly, the final hadith of Bukhari and the final chapter of Bukhari. Again, despite everything that the Qur'an contains, its histories, its laws, its stories, its parables, its similitudes, its halal and its haram, and all its teachings, the final message is, fear a day, the day of reckoning. The final chapter of Bukhari, as I explained last week, after everything, the histories, the stories, the laws, the technicalities of thousands of hadith, the final chapter is باب قول الله ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم يوزن. Chapter of the statement of Allah in the Quran, the verse of Surah Al-Anbiya, وَنَضَعُ الْمُوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. We shall establish and set up the scales of justice on the day of resurrection. فَلَا تُذْرِمْ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. So no soul shall suffer any loss in the least. No soul shall be wronged in the least. And the final hadith is also about the scales. And the final hadith is also about tasbih. Let that tasbih lead you to the realization of the reality of worldly life and our return to Allah, where ultimately our deeds, our words shall all be weighed. And we'll be accountable for every single word, every single deed, every single utterance. This is the connection and the summary of these four verses. At the very beginning of Surah Al-A'la, inshallah, I'll continue with the remainder of the verses in the next session. I repeat the translation again. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى. Elevate, glorify the name of your Lord, the Most High, He who has created and then perfected, and He who has proportioned and then guided, and He who has produced the green pasture and then turned it into dark stubble. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى عَبْدِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ بِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.